Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And today we are joined by Charlie Condu. Hello, Charlie.
Hello.
Hello. Now, I have already explained to you that my son is also called Charlie, so that's why the house is covered with bits of paper with Charlie written on, not because I'm some sort of weird stalker.
Yeah, although that would have been nice.
Yeah.
Make some sort of, you know, lots of pictures everywhere with my name on it.
Well, I put those all in the loft.
Love
so
it.
Yeah.
Great.
Later.
Now, Charlie, you're an actor, you're a writer, you're a husband, a dad, and patron.
I'm amazing.
Amazing. You're every woman, it's all in you.
Right? Exactly.
In 2012, you were named Man of the Year by Attitude magazine.
I know, isn't that nice?
Yeah, wow. It's weird though that like, you're not Man of the Year after that. Though. That
was
2012.
That was the end. Yeah. It was really funny because that came just at a point where I'd spent the day of the awards, I'd spent all day with my daughter at school baking cupcakes and wearing matching flowery aprons. And I sort of felt a little bit like, I'm glad I've got Man of the Year because I was starting to question my masculinity just a little bit.
What had you actually done in 2012 to get Man of the Year?
I have no idea. I don't know why that year. I think it was probably because I was back on Coronation Street. My column in The Guardian was going where I was talking about being a gay parent. And I think it was sort of those things that they thought of Attitude magazine, you know, gay magazine, quite forward thinking. They thought, yeah, this is somebody that embodies our sort of, you know, whatever it is. So they gave me a nice shiny prize.
Did you get a goodie bag?
I got a really nice goodie bag. Yeah, I can't remember what was in it because I got so unbelievably drunk.
Good.
I was sat at a table with a bunch of friends, actually, and it was people like Catelyn Moran and Claire Balding and a whole bunch of people that I knew who were all very funny, and we just proceeded to get absolutely hammered. And I remember Catelyn, those of you that know Catelyn will know that she's quite outspoken. And she got us all talking about our first ever wanks. So that was kind of the tone of the conversation to begin with. Yeah, you want to talk to Claire Balding about her first wank? It's quite a story. By the time I got up to collect my award, I was long gone. But yes, it was a lovely night. And funnily enough, I was at the Attitude Awards last night. So once again, I'm hungover.
I've written a song to start the podcast.
Oh,
yes.
How unusual.
I know, how unlike.
You've written a song.
She quite often does this. I'm going to apologise now, Charlie. Helen likes to write theme tunes sometimes, but I guess not all the time, so you're very honoured.
Right, okay, lovely.
Or possibly not after you've heard the theme tune.
Oh, yeah.
Let's find out.
Like a Dennis Waterman thing going on.
Yeah.
Sort of.
If he was Australian and couldn't sing.
Right.
Yeah, that's it. So all our podcasts obviously start with Tell Us About Your Family, so I thought I'd start that off.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, right. So it's time to chat about family.
Good.
Tell us Condu, Condu, Condu.
Ah!
And later chat about Corrie. Tell us, Condu, tell us now.
Okay.
Oh, smooth.
I'll get yourself on X Factor next year.
That's a dream. No, Britain's Got Talent.
The other one.
Yeah, lilting. The other one. That was lilting.
Yeah.
Anyway, Charlie, tell us about your family.
Well, I don't have to sing the answer, do I?
No.
Great. I've got two children who are... My daughter's six, my son's three, and I co-parent with myself and my husband, Cameron. And we had them with a straight female friend of ours, Catherine, who was single. And that biological clock was ticking, and she wanted to be a mum and hadn't met anyone. And her, I'd always wanted to be a dad, and I just assumed, obviously, that, you know, I'd just have a baby with a female friend of mine because that's what they do. And who wouldn't want to do that with a gay man? Isn't that every woman's dream?
That's the dream.
Yeah. That's the ideal, right? I'm going to grow up, I'm going to meet a gay man and not fall in love and have children with him.
Yeah, but never have to sleep with him. That is
exactly that. Yeah. Not even get sex.
Yeah.
I'm sure the majority of women would like that. That was their dream, and that was her dream. I imagine.
I think you'd be sarcastic, but I think you'd be surprised.
So anyway, so that's what we did. And we went, you know, we went down the IVF route.
Oh, you didn't do the basic, because we had Dr. Greg on the podcast previously, who's also had a baby with a female friend, and he's a doctor. So yeah, they got the syringe and,
DIY.
Do you
know what we did? We tried for a little while. We tried all the turkey baster, not an actual turkey baster, because I don't know if you've seen how big those things are. I'm fertile, but really not... There wasn't that much to go in a turkey baster. But anyway, we gave that a shot. It didn't work for a whole number of reasons. And then we thought, well, okay, let's go and do it properly and see a doctor. And there were a number of sort of medical reasons that which is why it wasn't working that way. So we went and did IVF. Yeah. And now we have two of the little bastards.
Oh, there you go.
But that's good. So it worked so well with the first one. You thought, let's have another spin.
Well, basically, we'd frozen an embryo. So waste not, want not. We thought we got one in the freezer. We might as well chuck it back up there and see what happens.
It's always good to cook a double quantity of anything.
I think so. And it was such a long kind of process, the IVF thing, and also quite an embarrassing thing. Hello. Staring at your little baby.
We should say baby Joe is also joining us for the podcast.
There he is. I think he's drunk, but I remember going for. Is this oversharing? Yeah, this is probably
this
oversharing.
This is what this podcast is.
Yeah, but this is kind of thing the Daily Mail will pick up on.
Yeah.
I remember going to do when we were in Harley Street. We went to do the IVF, and we'd had all the tests and everything, and they said to me, "Okay, well, here's a plastic container, and if you wouldn't mind going off and giving us some of your sample, bless you. And so I went upstairs to the room, which was essentially just a toilet with an armchair in it and a little side table with some dogged copies of Penthouse.
Oh, lovely.
Which, frankly, we're never going to help. Let's face it. Not for me. Although I did then start to think about all the other men that had been in the room that day doing what I was about to do, and that kind of helped. As I went into this room, there were two women sitting outside who were waiting for their scan, and they clocked me. And obviously, I was on Coronation Street at the time, and I saw them recognise me and sort of nudge each other, like, "Oh my God, look, it's that bloke from Coronation Street." And they knew exactly what I was going into this room to do. They knew what
you were going into the wank cave.
I was going into the wank cave, and I went in, and it was absolutely mortifying because I could hear them. Outside giggling while I was trying to do my thing.
That's right.
Took me longer than it does normally, it's fair to say.
Nothing sexier than someone laughing at you.
While you're trying to knock one out.
Yeah.
I mean, it happens to me a lot, to be fair. But not normally from outside the room. So, yeah. So that was IVF. That was my experience of IVF.
Wow, that sounds great. And then how have you found co-parenting? Has it been kind of... Because I've read your column in The Guardian, which I loved, and you had quite a lot of plans in place. Like, you talked about every eventuality with Catherine, didn't you, before you had the
kids?
We
talked loads and loads, possibly too much, although I think being a parent is something that everyone should talk about. Everyone should discuss this stuff, because so many people, and people I know, have got pregnant by accident, or, you know, had sex with somebody that they just met, and then 6 months later she'll say, "I'm pregnant." I know people that have done this, and it's not the ideal way of getting into parenthood. And while I'm not suggesting that co-parenting is the ideal way, at least Catherine and I, and Cameron, by the time we got to that point, knew that we were all exactly on the same page. We knew what we were getting into. We knew what we wanted. We knew that morally we were in the same place. We knew that politically, with a small p, we were all very similar. We talked about what would happen if one of us moved to Australia, because it's always Australia for some reason. I don't know why. Why do you think that somebody's going to move to Australia? Because who moves to Australia? Well, apart from maybe Australians.
Not me.
So anyway, but we know what we will do if one of us moves to Australia.
That's good. But
what anyway,
will you
so
do?
Never see the children again.
Right. Okay.
Was,
yeah.
Was
no,
my
yeah,
solution.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it's so yeah. We just discussed it all, and I'm not saying that it works for everyone, but for us, it works really well. Mm. It works really, really well. The kids live between two houses. Me and Cam have them too. Catherine has them Monday and Tuesday. We have them Wednesday and Thursday, and then we alternate the weekends. But we live so close together anyway that we see each other all the time. Mm. I mean, you know, we go around for dinner, or Catherine will come to us for bath time sometimes. The kids' bath time, obviously, not when Cam and I are in the bath.
Just for birthdays.
Just sometimes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, she can't nice. Come on in, you get. It works really well. It's really nice. And the kids are really happy and well-adjusted.
I think
he says...
They're great.
Yeah, they're fine. They're fine.
But I think it's really important, yeah, for any parent to kind of think about it. Because I think, even my husband and I were together for 10, 11 years before we had kids. And we just naturally assumed we'd think the same because, you know. Mm-hmm. And then you throw a kid into the mix, into a relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult. You didn't realise you had those feelings or what you actually wanted the kid. But I think that's really, really important. And just to have those sort of, I guess, not plans, but ideals set in place.
Yeah.
Is really important because it pushes you to your absolute limits as a human being. And it's good to have.
Yeah, and it's great to have those ideas. And we did plan for everything. But also, while it's really important to get those things down and to know how you're going to react, you have to be completely open to the fact that when a new human comes into your life, everything goes out the window. And so you have to be adaptable. You have to kind of be fluid, I suppose, and go with whatever comes your way.
Mm.
But I think as long as you try and look at what works best for the kids and try and go, well, actually, in this situation, what's going to work best for them? Or what do we think is going to work best for them? Because, you know, I realise every day that you never know the answer to any of these questions. I'm going through it at the moment. My little boy's 3.5 and we're taking him to nursery, and every day he's getting upset and saying, Daddy, I don't want to go and leave me. And of course, I feel like the worst parent in the world, even though his teachers are saying the minute you walk out the door, he's completely fine and painting and whatever. Yeah. But you just think, am I fucking him up for life? Or, you know, what's the right thing to do? Should I be leaving him? And you never know the answer to any of these questions. And I'm sure that I'll make my own...
Yes, Charlie, to all of that.
To all of it, yes. You are messing... Listen, as long as my kids can afford their own therapy when they're older, I've done my job as far as I'm concerned.
That's why you're at work.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think, like you said, I don't think it's specific to gay parents. Everybody has like an idea of what having a baby is going to be like. And I don't know anyone, gay or straight, who's had the baby and gone, well, it's exactly as I thought it would be.
And it's really easy.
Yeah.
But actually, and that's, in a way, that's one of the things that I've... The reasons that I wanted my column in The Guardian, which was talking about our family setup, one was because I wanted to show that gay people can be parents too, and your sexuality shouldn't be any kind of obstacle. But two was that actually I wanted to show that regardless of your sexuality, parenting is parenting, and it's just as mundane for gay people as it is for straight people. And, you know, when I'm doing homework with Georgia or you know, I don't know, putting Hal on the timeout step or whatever it is that I'm doing, the last thing I'm thinking about is who I want to have sex with.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody thinks about that kind of stuff. When you're with your children, that's what you're doing. You're parenting. Yeah. And so,
I haven't thought about sex for about 4 years, Charlie.
No. And you never will again.
No.
That's one of the things I've learned.
I'm having it sewn up.
Yeah.
You know, you've been an actor for many years. Has that helped you being a parent, do you think? Because there's times where you do have to... fake emotions, or you have to
I just lie to my kids all the time, pretend that I'm having a great time while dying inside.
Best day of my life.
Do you know what, I don't think being an actor has made any difference, but I do think being an older parent has helped. I mean, there is no denying that I had more energy when I was young, and if I'd done it younger, then I certainly wouldn't have felt like I was having a stroke after 10 minutes of tag. 42.
42? He don't look a day over, does he?
No.
40.
No, I'm 41-ish. I'm 42, and Cameron's 51 as well, and Catherine's 48. They're all really fucking old. But actually, I think that comes with a whole load of really positive things. We're a lot more laid back. We don't tend to go, I don't know, maybe it's a personality thing as well. None of us are particularly neurotic. We don't get freaked out about things. We're all quite calm. We're basically amazing parents.
This is what I'm
realizing. One of the great things about our situation is having the kids only half of the week, which is something that a lot of people do, divorce families and whatever, but it's great. None of us ever get to the point where we go, Jesus fucking Christ, these kids are driving me insane. I wish I could just get a break.
What's you that know, like?
Yeah. It's lovely. It's amazing. And it really is. Because when the kids are here, I'm totally focused on them because I love spending time with them. I've got the energy, I've got the time, I've got the inclination, and I'm not thinking, oh, I'm done, just give me a break, I just need to, because we get a break, you know. Catherine's on holiday at the moment, she went to New York for a week to see some friends, and we've taken the kids for a week, and that's really great. It's something that's really useful. So, you know, while I'm sure we're fucking them up in plenty of ways that we don't know about yet, that's something that's really good.
Have you ever thought of co-parenting, perhaps with people who've already got children that would be happy for their children to come and just stay with you for a few days a week?
You mean like babysitting?
Well, co-parenting.
Yeah, nice try, but I'm not taking your children home with me.
I just think I could stick them in an Uber, Monday to Tuesday, and you can have them.
Yeah, that's quite good. Isn't that what grandparents are for?
Yeah, well, we've got that as well. I'm really looking for a 7-day wraparound system.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
you don't want to be a parent at all, do you?
Of course I do.
I'll take them back when they're 18.
Yes, I love you, future children, listening to this when you're 18, hating me. You probably hate me anyway, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't make any difference. Yeah, so your column was called, what was it called, the column in the garden?
It was called The Three of Us.
The Three of Us. Yeah, and I went back, because I did used to read it, and I went back and read a few the other day, and I read the last one, and I really like that, because in it you said, I'm going to stop writing this column because I've realised that now the issues I'm dealing with are just parenting issues. Like, it's not specific to being gay.
Yeah, and I realised that as I went along. I don't think I set out to do that, actually. I mean, with hindsight, I always think, yes, that's what I wanted to do. But I think it was something that I discovered as I was writing. I remember writing one of my last columns about potty training, and I thought, God, I don't even want to read this. Nobody's going to want to read about me potty training my daughter. Who gives a shit? You know, really. It's like that.
Not your daughter, that was the problem.
Well, exactly.
And then, and I think it came to a really lovely natural end. You went on your first holiday to Centre Parks, Ellie.
Do you like the parks, Charlie? You're a parks fan?
We had a really nice time in Centre Parks, but I think my kids were too young. Do you like it there?
I'm planning a trip there at the moment.
Are you?
I would live there if I could, Charlie. I would actually
would
live.
Would you?
In
one of those cabins? We had a cabin. Yeah. It was lovely.
Very Scandinavian.
Yeah, the bikes.
That's what I would say. Yeah. It's like being in Scandinavia, except it's full of British people.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, lovely woodland paths. And then someone going, Darren, you left a bottle opener in the car.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what I want.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
For my holiday. So you set up Out With The Family, Charlie. Can you tell us about that?
We set it up just because it's, you know, I live in a very, metropolitan, cosmopolitan, lovely, trendy, Islington-y place where having, gay parents, really, it's almost like you have to if you live where I am.
Do you know Nigel Slater?
I don't actually, but he lives near us somewhere. And Yotam Ottolenghi and his partner have just had kids as well. It's all the rage.
I've got friends who go into the butcher that Nigel Slater goes to in the hope of bumping into him and sort of get thrown out after an hour and a half.
Yeah. You know, just hanging around looking at the meat. Yeah. So, I mean, but for some people, they are quite literally the only gays in the village. Mm. And having families can be incredibly isolating if you're on your own. So we set up out with the family for two reasons, really. One was because we wanted to put on, you know, days at the zoo or taking people to Legoland or whatever, and we do these big events for hundreds of people. And one was for the kids to meet other kids and to know that they're in the majority for once, actually. They're not the odd ones out, and there are loads of families, and they're all same-sex families. But the other reason was for the parents to kind of, I don't want to say networking because it's not like that, but it's more of a kind of social support system, really, to meet other people in your situation and kind of, you know, that was why we set it up. And it's doing really well, actually. Mm. It's all going very well. We put on about 5 events a year at the moment. The website, I think, is outwiththefamily.co.uk. So just have a look and it says, you know, sign up for the newsletter, and it talks about when our next events are and what we are and what we do and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, fantastic. So it's
great.
Really good.
I try not to put my name to loads of charities just as a kind of, yeah, I'll be a...
Oh, like that Diana Spencer. She was just doing all over the shop.
She was spread herself too thin.
I mean, it's nice that I get asked to be an ambassador, which basically means can you tweet every now and again? And that's fine. But being a patron...
Basically, you're like, fuck guide dogs, not interested.
Yeah, not interested. Yeah.
I Googled you, obviously.
Great. I do that every day.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. So you would have found out too that you were married recently.
I found out all sorts of things when I've looked at myself.
Oh, amazing.
Internet. Apparently, I used to date Will Young.
Did you?
Apparently so, yeah. I read that a while ago on Wikipedia. Nice. Which is interesting because we've actually only met a couple of times, and I'm fairly certain we just met. Not that I can remember, but you know, according to Wikipedia. So it must be true. Yeah. But yeah, sorry. So yeah,
you got married.
I
is
did
that right?
get married.
To
yeah,
Will
that
Young
bit
or?
Is true to Christopher Biggins. No, I got married to Cameron. And it was really nice actually because we got married exactly 10 years to the day from our first date. And that was really nice.
You'd had some dates in between, presumably.
Yeah, we'd had 4.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was lovely. It was just the way we wanted to do it. So it was a nice wedding.
Oh, well, lovely.
So we've done family chat, Ellie.
I think we have, Helen. Would you like to introduce the next section?
All right, let's go on to the next bit. All right, we're going to move swiftly into career chat.
Lovely.
Career chat. So you've been in Pie in the Sky. This is for the listener at home. The Bill.
The listener? Is there just one?
It's my mum.
Yeah.
You've been in Pie in the Sky, The Bill, Gimme Gimme Gimme, Peak Practice, The Armstrong and Miller Show, Holby City, Casualty, and you starred as Renoir in The Impressionist.
I did, yeah. It was really good fun, actually. We did this mini-series about the Impressionist painters.
In France?
We went over to France.
Nice.
Yeah, we filmed some of it over in Giverny at Monet's
house.
She's
impressed by that because she's Australian. You could just get on a boat, love. You'd be there in 4 hours.
It's really close. It's not that interesting. But yes, we did.
Foreign. Yeah. It's exciting.
Just like here with more cheese. And most recently, we saw you just the other night. We were watching the telly and there you were. And I said, oh, that man is coming to your house in 2 days, darling.
What was that?
My husband.
On
and
time
the
crushes.
Apocalypse.
Oh, yeah, you mean the apocalypse.
That's playing a priest.
I am, yes.
I was going to say sexy priest. And
I was less sexy, more sort of slimy priest. But I was, all my scenes were with Rob Lowe, who was very definitely a sexy priest.
Jeez Louise.
I know, right? It was a bit of a childhood fantasy or
was
crush
it?
Of mine. He was anyway, so working with him.
Really?
Was,
so were you nervous meeting him? Were you a bit... Or you
no,
just, you're
was
a prey.
Really cool. Although we did have, yeah, we did end up having quite a funny conversation about spunk. He had a line in one of the scenes where he had to say to a woman who was playing a nun, a young sister, I like that, Sister Celine, you've got spunk. And he said something like that. And I said to him, when we were doing the scene, I said to him, does spunk mean the same thing in America that it means here? And he went, yes, it's, you know, like vim and vigor. And I said, yeah, and also come. And he went, no, oh, really? Yeah, so then we had, and then
well,
of course,
come, as in to arrive? What are you talking about?
No, he knew what I meant. And then, of course, we couldn't get through the scene. Because every time he got to that line, he was thinking, "You're full of spunk." Which just, yeah, it took us a long time. But he was very, very funny and very lovely. And everything that I wanted him to be. Apart from dressed.
And then, of course, we've got to talk about Coronation Street.
Yes.
Wow. And you played a guy called Marcus Dent, is that
I
right?
I did. Yes. Marcus Dent.
See, look at the internet research.
He's a little bit bent.
Yeah. you played a midwife. Was that good use when going into birth?
I never actually delivered a baby, but I did do a lot of research on it. And so when we were going for the scans for both the kids, I was right there with the, how big is the new cool fold and all that. I knew all my stuff.
You know, you knew your lingo.
They actually loved the midwife.
Yeah, they were like,
but I've played a midwife.
Yes,
I can exactly identify with what you're going through.
Somebody came up to me on the tube station once. I was standing and waiting for a train. That wasn't just hanging around the tube stations.
Hoping to see Will Young.
Yeah, exactly.
Nigel Slater.
Why won't you call?
And this woman came up and she recognised me and she went, "Hello." And I went, "Hello." And she went, "I know you." And I went, "Oh, yeah, okay." And she went, "You're not really a midwife, are you?" "No, I'm not." And she went, "So what do you do?" It's like,
you've been in a show, sorry, I'm going to be a dork.
Yeah.
With Kathy Burke.
Yeah.
Who I adore.
Yeah, so, she's all right.
She's
all right. I saw her in the street the other day. She's my son's godmother, actually.
I didn't know that.
Is that not on Wikipedia?
No.
God damn it. Somebody's not doing their job.
She'd update the page after.
Yeah, if you would, yeah. I love Kath because she's so uncompromising. And if she's not in the mood to talk to you, she just won't fucking talk to you. And she walked past, I was having a coffee. And I went, "Oh, there's Kath." And I ran out and I shouted to her. And she physically, she walked by and she physically, you can't see me because we're on the broadcast, but she went, "Oh." Like, did this kind of a, who the fuck is shouting at me now? And she turned around and saw it was me. And I really laughed. I said, "You look so pissed off that somebody just called you." And she said, "Oh, I'm just fucking tired." And I thought, fair enough, because people shout at her all the time in the street because she's a bit of a national treasure.
Oh, she
is. And people are always saying to her, you know, "Oh, I love you." Yeah. And she thinks, "Oh, fuck off.
Leave me alone.
You don't know me. Yeah. You don't love me."
Have you ever, is there anyone you met where you've been sort of starstruck? I mean, I know we talked about Rob Lowe, but yeah, have you met any of your other heroes?
When I was a teenager, I was a very, very big Nena Cherry fan.
Oh.
Massive. She was, like, for me, the ultimate. And I guess she's actually a friend of mine now, but when I met her, I think I met her for the first time, I was about 18. And I was so rude to her because I was just really nervous.
Yeah.
And she came over and was like, "Hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. We have mutual friends." She was like, "Oh, I've heard a little about you." I was like, yeah, okay. And just like,
you like
really
jiggle.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And I just wouldn't talk to her. And she kept coming over and I kept just walking away.
Oh my God.
It was so unlike me and so rude, but I just couldn't.
Charlie.
I was terrified. I was like, what if she hates me? But yeah, I think she's probably the only person that made me nervous when I met them.
You were very relaxed when you met us, which
I was fine.
We were so relieved.
Internally, I was.
So what are you working on at the moment? What's your latest project?
My Guardian column. I don't know if we've talked about the fact that I had a column in the Guardian.
In the Guardian?
Yeah. Oh, I love the Guardian.
The Guardian newspaper in England.
I thought you meant the Lewisham and Catford Guardian.
Which is also good. And I'll write a column for them if they want.
Get in the queue!
I got approached by a production company to make it into a comedy series. So because my life is hilarious, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm developing that at the moment. I'm also working on a book. I'm doing a lot of that kind of stuff. I'm sort of focusing on writing a bit more. And obviously my selfless charity work that I
do.
You
don't sleep,
patronising. I don't sleep, all the patronising that I do. So, at the moment, really. Yeah.
Is there a dream role or a dream show that you'd love to be in?
No, not anymore. I used to. I was one of those actors that really wanted to play Hamlet and do all of that stuff. But that died a long time ago.
Tennant's done it
now and he did it so well.
Yeah.
And Cumberbatch is doing it and, I'd embarrass them. So
let them have their time.
I'll let them have their moment.
Good.
No, I want jobs now that keep me in London and pay me really well.
You want to get on that Meerkat advert, that's what you want.
I really do.
Take it from me. If you need any more career advice. that would compare. That would
yeah, that's very absolutely. Good.
Lovely. Well, that's career chat, I think. In a, what would you say?
Yeah, in a nutshell, we've cracked that nut.
Cracked yeah. it.
We've cracked right. it. Right. Can I pull up my
yes, let me...
game?
Is it? Are they are they complicated rules?
No, no.
Because it's
not.
Been a long, long night.
I can't.
I've not slept much, and okay. if I have to, there's no adding, is there?
What you're about to learn, Charlie, is that yeah. Helen's definition of game is quite loose. It can yeah. simply be a 5-minute exercise based around one joke.
Okay. No. Okay. All right.
It can be pun based or just something she's plucked out of her little Australian head. Mm,
no.
Oh no.
But there is a surprise because I have created a theme tune for this game.
Of course you have. That's not a surprise. That is not a surprise.
Okay. Well, it's a treat. It's a game about Charlie. It's a game about Charles. Try to guess famous Charlies with these objects.
Right.
Do you start with like a song and yeah. then make your theme tune around that?
Yeah, I thought yeah. you know what, Charlie Condy's coming on the podcast. I need Eye of the Tiger
in there yeah. somehow.
Do you want me to sing it again?
No, thank you.
Not really.
So this game is guess the famous Charlie / Charles
right.
with a representative object.
Okay. Have you got a little bag of white powder in there by any chance? Oh, no. I spoiled it. Oh, I'm so
and there
sorry.
There it is, a little bag of white.
Feature Ellie, guess this famous Charlie with this object.
You go for
it. It's Charlie Sheen.
Hooray! And if you didn't get it, I put in some Sheen wash just as a...
Oh, nice. Yeah. As a second clue.
The next famous Charlie, Peanuts.
Peanuts? Oh,
Charlie Brown.
Charles... Oh, I was going to say
Charles Schultz. You're both correct.
Oh,
yeah.
1 point each.
Now, I'm going to put on the table a monkey... Followed by Ooh. A man.
Is this a reference to the song Monkey Man?
No.
Right, okay. Well, then it's not Amy Winehouse, who isn't a Charlie.
Or a man, or a monkey.
I'm
Good
trying
guess,
to think
though.
Of all the people that have covered Monkey Man over the years.
A monkey. Look at the sequence.
Ape
man.
Charles Darwin.
Correct!
Oh, good one.
Excellent.
That's a good one.
Oh, I think you're even now. A luxury biscuit.
Ooh.
And possibly a king. It is...
Charles
Prince Charles
first. Prince
because he sells luxury biscuits and he could be a king.
Wow.
Yeah, I think we should just move on.
Yeah.
I think
okay.
if right. you'd actually bought a Douchey Originals biscuit
then we would have got that one.
Yeah. Would this have been better?
Yes, that yes. would have been
a
better.
Picture
a picture of Prince Charles
would have been more helpful.
Right, okay,
that would have been
that.
Helpful.
See, I thought I'd bring this just in case you guys couldn't do it. Alright, fine. Now you have to suspend disbelief. Okay, so I'm gonna say this is a bird
right. and
a dead bird.
Did you just pick that off your drive today?
No. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a bird and a saxophone.
Oh, Charlie Parker.
Indeed.
Oh,
excellent.
God damn it.
And for bonus points, a pair of sunglasses.
Ray Charles.
Done!
Oh.
It's a game about Charlie.
Oh, no.
It's a game about Charlie.
Please stop singing that fucking theme tune.
Right, you're welcome, everybody listening.
Charlie, okay. You're an expert on Charlies. Congratulations.
I know, right?
Who's
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Of all those Charlies, which one are you named after, do you know?
I do know... I'm named after the very first one, actually.
Charlie Sheen?
No, the clue.
Oh.
Yeah, my parents were around in the 70s.
Okay, well, we've come to the end of the podcast now, but before we go, we have to do our favourite section, which is Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Oh.
Yes.
Well, the other night I went to a conference and I didn't eat any food and I drank all the free booze and then threw up on my shoes on the train.
Hooray!
Yay!
Just a standard Tuesday night, really, isn't it?
It was a Tuesday night!
Oh, I've got a confession, actually.
Yeah.
But this is... nobody from my kids' school will be listening to this, will they? So that's fine. Because I went to pick up my son yesterday from nursery. My daughter had art club, so she wasn't coming home. But I couldn't park when I got there. And I thought, oh, shit, what am I going to do? So I thought I'd just double park and run in and grab him and pick him up and get back in the car. So I pulled up and I ran into the school. And just as I got to pick him up, his teacher said, oh, great, you're here. And it was parents' evening and I'd completely forgotten.
No.
So she took me into her office to talk about, you know, how well he's doing at nursery and to talk about problems. And I was so desperate to get to my car so that I didn't get a ticket. I was like, well, that's all fantastic. Thank you so much. And she kept trying to tell me. And I was like, no, that's fine. I'm sure he's doing all right. And I was out within about 3 minutes.
So we've had an email from a listener. Exciting, yes. Hello. Isn't it? Hello, Bernadette. I think she's in Australia. Hello, Bernadette. Now, Bernadette says, I just discovered this awesome podcast and it feels like just the right time because I'm listening to it during my only alone time, i.e. the night my husband gets home from work, an hour after baby bedtime. So how am I using this precious time? Am I reading about the difficult stage my 15-month-old seems to have encountered? Am I catching up on work since I recently lost a month's work in a computer glitch? Nope, I'm eating corn chips with creme fraiche for dinner and I just washed down an antibiotic with red wine.
Hooray!
That's my girl.
Oh, did I mention I woke up with cystitis yesterday?
Hooray!
You just did, Bernadette, and thank you so much for sharing. Oh, aww. Bernadette, well, I hope it clears up soon. That's yeah. it. Yeah, and good luck. Merlot is the new cranberry juice, you know.
I heard she's
doing all the right things. Well, I think that's probably it, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. We've come to the end.
We have.
If you like the podcast, please tell your friends. We're on Twitter at Scummy Mummies and Facebook.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Charlie Condy, for being such a fantastic guest on the podcast.
You're very welcome.
Until next time. Bye-bye.
I'm just going to get this wet wipe, which has already been used, and get this off the sofa because even though it's a sugar-free delight, it looks like shit on the sofa.
That's why we've got a leather sofa. This was originally white, this sofa.
Yeah, I see.
Thank you very much.
You're
can't believe a man from Grenade Street has cleaned my sofa.
That's right, yeah.
That's the dream. I can die now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.